This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Branford Marsalis brings great music into the world just about every way a musician can. He plays it, he writes it, and he produces it on his own record label, and he promotes it everywhere he goes. He's won lots of awards, including 3 Grammys, and is a favorite with audiences abroad, so he certainly belongs to the world, and yet he continues to make big contributions right here in his adopted state of North Carolina. He has a residency at North Carolina Central University in Durham and has made appearances in venues all over the state. The Branford Marsalis Quartet is going to be performing at the Baldwin Auditorium tomorrow and Saturday evening as part of Duke Performances. Branford Marsalis joins us now. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hey, Frank.
You play with some extraordinary musicians, including Durham resident Joey Calderazzo. Tell me how you two met. How did you guys get together?
Joey's brother Gene is a drummer who lives in London. But in 1979, like me and Jeff Tane Watts, we were all students at the Berklee College of Music. And we had a nightly jam session. And Gene Joey casually referenced, you know, hey, my brother Joey's coming up from New York, spent a week in the school. And we were playing in the jam session. And the door was a normal size door, like those university doors from the 50s with the little glass window.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey was a little fella. So he heard us playing and he stopped outside the door and he couldn't see us. So he was jumping up and down. So we saw this little blur going up and down while we were playing this song. It was the most disconcerting. What the hell is that? So as soon as the song stopped, he was knocking on the door, I mean, fast. And we opened the door, and here he is with that Joey grin, the same grin. Hey, you guys mind if I play with you? I said, yeah, come on in, kid. You know, I mean, baby, baby. He was 14 years old. And what do you want to play? And he says, let's play Moment's Notice, which is an incredibly difficult song. So we kind of chuckled when he said it. And said, well, sure, why don't you pick the tempo? He goes, okay, ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he just blazed through this song. And I didn't even play because I knew I couldn't play it. I barely could play it at all. I couldn't play it at that tempo. So I walked up to him and said, wow, are you kidding me, man? How old are you? He said, I'm 14. I said, man, how do you learn how to play that? He goes, oh, it's actually the only song I know. I just practiced hours a day every day.
But played it for 14 years.
I said, yeah, well, that'll do it. That'll do it. And I just kind of, you know, you say, well, he's one of those guys. You just know. Okay, well, he's one of those. I didn't know I was one of those guys. I knew he was.
Yeah.
And we would just bump into each other on the road because he was playing with Michael Brecker and I was playing with my brother and then I was playing with my band and playing with different people. And I've known him since he was 14.
You make good music together. Let's listen to this clip this is from the album Songs of Mirth and Melancholy. Let's listen to you playing with Joey Calderazzo. Joey Calderazzo, Branford Marsalis, and Demian is the song. That's from their 2011 album, Songs of Mirth and Melancholy. Branford's going to have his quartet at Baldwin Auditorium this Saturday. For Duke Performances, he's here now. 14 years old, playing together, playing with a guy like that. How long have you been playing together?
He joined the band in his late 30s, 1999.
So you've been playing together for a long time. Mm. Does it, when you play with a musician like that, does it change the way you play?
Sometimes. It depends on the musician. With him, yes. The whole idea is sometimes with a lot of musicians, they know more music than they hear.
Well, what does that mean?
The way some musicians learn, it would be tantamount to someone saying, I am going to be one of the greatest actors in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm going to learn every word in the dictionary. And you have someone who has a complete command of the language, a complete understanding of the relationships of words and where gerunds are supposed to go in verbs. And then it's time to act, and that's when the trouble starts. So a lot of times you have musicians who have learned, they have an encyclopedic understanding of music, but they just don't know how to play music. And with Joey, he has both of those. He's learned all of that harmonic stuff, but he has great ears and great musical instincts. And when you're playing with someone with great musical instincts, yes, there's room for change and growth and all those other things.
You have another musician that you have picked up along the way, or who picked you up along the way, however you want to look at it, Justin Faulkner, another bandmate who has made a name for himself. I want to listen to him first, because this is him playing on Whiplash from the album 4MF's Playing Tunes. Let's listen. A little bit of Whiplash. Justin Faulkner was the drummer on that, and we didn't want to. There's a killer drum solo, but a little that's a little like just watching the ball go over the fence if you don't hear the whole thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he was 21 or 22 when we did this record.
He's another young guy who you brought in or you met when he was very young, very early in his career.
Well, I made a presumption. I heard him playing a very, very slow tune. And one of the things that we like to joke about, which was the same thing that the old guys joked about when we were young, was young people's inability to play slow songs because it requires a certain level of musical maturity, first of all, and an embracing of the concept of simplicity, which with a lot of us, our attraction to jazz was because of its complexity. But I was lucky enough, having grown up playing R&B and rock and roll, at a younger age, embraced the concept of playing simplicity with conviction. Hmm. So when it was time for me to learn that, I was open to the idea. I wasn't resistant to it. So I heard him playing a very slow song, and I was impressed that it was convincing. And he started playing played a couple of spot gigs with us, and it was clear that he didn't really have a jazz vocabulary. And I made a presumption he could play all of the complicated stuff because that's what kids do all day. They work on complicated stuff. And I said, if he can play that slow song that good, the rest of it we can teach him. And it took him about 2 years to learn the way we play and to learn some vocabulary because he really didn't know a lot of jazz at all. And, it's onward. He's 25 now and killing it.
You know, this relationship between simplicity and complexity is an interesting one. You played with the Grateful Dead, a live set, which I take it was a surprise to you and to.
Well, it wasn't a surprise to me. I knew I was playing with
you. I wasn't sure from the way
it was
the
a
story,
surprise to them.
It was the way the story was told. Whether you were kind of in the audience, and, "Oh, Branford, come on up."
No, what happened? The way it happened was there's a gentleman named Jim Louie who no one knows, and Jim and I were working on this musical project in Ithaca, New York, and Jim's cousin Annie Eustavinus worked for the Grateful Dead. They were having a conversation. Oh, what's going on? Yeah, I'm working with Branford. She goes, oh, Phil loves Branford. Phil being Phil Lesh, the bass player. So Jim tells me, the Grateful Dead. I said, just tell Phil hi. The word comes back. Phil wants you to drive down to Nassau and play with the Dead. And I said, all right, sure. when we finished the project, when are they playing? Okay, great. So instead of driving home to Brooklyn, I drove from Ithaca straight to Nassau, Long Island. We met the guys, and all the guys were like, who is this guy? Jerry and Weir, Phil's like, hey, this is Branford Marcellus. They're like, oh, hi. Okay, so, and being a band leader myself, they said, so what we're going to do is we're going to bring you up on the last song of the first set. And that's the best thing to do, because if the guy's crappy, you can bring him up. You have to suffer through one song. You say, thanks for playing. Get the hell out of here. It works. It's just so I said, great. I know what this is. I'm sleepy anyway. So we went up on the last song of the first set, and a little bit of magic happened. It worked. And they said, why don't you stick around for the second half?
I want to play a little bit of that magic right now. Here's Branford Marsalis with the Grateful Dead in 1990. I wanted to play that. There they go, and that's the vocal. That's you kind of in support. And then here it is when it's your chance to more or less solo. Let's listen. Branford Marsalis performing Birdsong, Grateful Dead, 1990, Nassau Coliseum in Long Island.
That's funny. That's cool.
What is different? Is it different improvising with a band like that than it is with your quartet?
Well, yeah, totally. We don't have a static drum beat. We have a fluid drum beat. The drum beat locks everything in, and it changes the nature of what you play. Even though, as a jazzer, it would have been our inclination to start playing really fast runs in the middle of it, because symmetrically it works. Musically it doesn't really work. And Jerry's solo style was more based on, I'm trying to be not overly, like triplet feels, which is if the steady beat is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, his solo style is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, da da dum, da 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 dum, da 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 da. And I could hear that. So then my mindset was, okay, play triplets, but don't play them where he's playing them. So if he's playing triplets on one side of the beat, I'll play it on the other side of the beat, and it creates this kind of contrapuntal relationship.
Mm-hmm. But it's symmetrical.
It's symmetrical, but it's not the traditional, 4-4, 16th note symmetry. It's more something I really developed when I was playing with Sting is the saxophone is a sort of a foil instrument. When the singer's singing, you use it to complement what the singer's doing. When the singer is not doing it, you use it, because when you play on strange parts of the beat, it creates a certain kind of dynamic tension as long as you know when it's time to release it. It works.
Because that's in the vocal range. I mean, that meets our ear like a voice,
right?
Unlike some other instruments. So you got to know who you're playing with and who's in and who's out.
Well, and I've been doing that for a long time. Yeah. I've been playing in popular music settings since I was 14 years old. And when it first started, I kind of laughed. I said, oh, it's funny, because I was playing some stuff that I'd learned verbatim from Wayne Shorter playing with Weather Report, was this experimental band in the 70s.
Right.
So as soon as I started playing the phrase, I laughed, because it's a record called Black Market, and I just lifted it from that record, not intentionally.
No.
It's just that's part of the oral vocabulary. When you learn all of these things and you listen to all of these records right. for hours and hours and hours, it kind of sits in there. So when that song started, it was funny. The first thing I heard was one of Wayne's licks, which was kind of nice. And
learning how to play with people is something that you have done extremely well, complimenting their stuff and then being able to stand out and step up when it's your time. And then your solo performance that you did in the Cathedral in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. That was a couple years ago.
Just a couple years ago.
2012, maybe?
My Solitude was the name of the album, Live at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. I want to listen to your version of Stardust. Let's listen. Branford Marcell is playing Stardust from the album In My Solitude, live at Grace Cathedral. This is in San Francisco. What was it like to play in that cathedral and just get that sound?
It was awesome. I don't really do sound checks, and I did one for this, but I knew that there was a 7-second delay in the room, and I kind of crafted all the music with that in mind and figured that my brain was facile enough to figure out how to manipulate the room once the concert started. But 80% of the songs were scripted, but the interpretation of those songs was left open to what was happening at the time.
Well, and then, and again, there's this question of how you write for sort of existing material. You won a number of awards and were nominated for a Tony for your score for August Williams' Fences. And this was the reprise done with Denzel Washington in 2010. I actually want to play a little clip from that, some of that music that you wrote. Let's listen. Some of the music my guest Branford Marcellus wrote for the 2010 production of August Wilson's Fences. And there's a story about that. Apparently you wrote that originally or wrote some music originally without seeing the play.
Yeah, right? I knew the play.
Yeah.
And I was touring and the window was just narrow. Yeah. So I reread the play and started writing music. And I told Kenny, I said, hey, look, I got the music ready and I want to go in the studio. And he says, well, you haven't seen the play.
Kenny Leon's the director.
Sorry, yeah.
Kenny Leon is the director.
The director, Kenny Leon. Sorry, Kenny Leon.
That's all right.
And he said, I have the play. You haven't seen this play. You can't write music for a play you haven't seen. You need to get your butt to New York and come see the play. So I have literally one day. And I flew into New York and flew out that evening. And I got a chance to see a rehearsal with Denzel and Viola Davis. And I was reduced to tears at the end of it. And I said, man, you're right. Thank you. And then I rewrote the overwhelming majority of the music. And, I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson, you know, in that juncture. But it worked out.
It certainly did. It got you nominated for a Tony. You won a number of other awards. And you keep going on doing great things. Great things here in the area, including your performance at Baldwin. Tomorrow night. Thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure, Branford.
Always a pleasure, Frank. Thank you.
Branford Marsalis, Grammy Award-winning saxophonist, bandleader, musician extraordinaire. Going to be performing tomorrow night and Saturday night, Baldwin Auditorium, the Branford Marsalis Quartet. It's part of Duke Performances. You can visit our website for details. More of the State of Things just ahead. Stay tuned.